Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're joining me from. My name is IoT. This is AV Track at Home of Nigerian Football, and I'm here with a special guest, someone that I've been trying to get on the podcast for a while now, but I'm happy that he's here. A player for Nottingham Forest and the Super Eagles of Nigeria. Can you kindly introduce yourself to our audience, please?
Hello everyone, my name is Awoniyi Taiwo, Super Eagles player of Nigeria and also playing for Nottingham Forest in the United Kingdom.
Yes, in the English Premier League, you have to give them that you have to big up yourself. Let everybody know that are talking to a superstar, they're watching a superstar. So Taiwo, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me. I just want to catch up with you know how you're doing, how the holiday is going, talk about the season that you just played. Preseason is coming up very quick. That's one thing with football. You don't really have time like that. Season end, maybe 2 3 weeks and then you're back in preseason. But first of all, how are you doing? How is the family? I know that family is very important to you, so how is everything?
Yeah, I think family is important to everyone. I'm doing fine. I'm presently in Nigeria, back home. I'm okay, and everything is fine at the moment. No issue because, like you said, first season is coming up soon. The best you can do for yourself is to make good use of your time. Maybe spend it with what you enjoyed most, which in my own case, is more of my friends, my family, and at the moment, I'm enjoying everything.
Good to hear that you're doing well and you're enjoying. You are in Nigeria. I hope the billing not too much because we know how nice they be now.
Safeguard yourself also now.
No, nice one, nice one. Okay, so Taiwo, like I said, I just want to catch up with you. I know that a lot of Nigerians have been familiar with you. We've been watching you since your youth days, all the way up now. You are a choir boy, and you're proud of it. So I want to ask you about the Never Stop Dreaming Cup that you hosted. That was something that I thought was a good initiative, to try to inspire the youth. Can you just give us a little bit of background? What motivated you to do that, and how was everything at the end of it?
Yeah, for me, I think for me, I always tell people like most people that know me, like I do things based on what I dream of, what I hope of achieving one day. And looking at the cup, I think it's something that I did because I've always said to myself, if I can make it to this stage, I think I will try in my power to inspire a lot of people in my own little way. And I just wake up one day and I come up with an idea of why don't you host a tournament of that high, a 26-team tournament, whereby each team get their own jersey, their own football, their own soccer bib, without no one paying anything for it. And I think just to motivate everyone, like, if I can do it as well, coming from Kwara State, I think anyone can. And it's just my own way of keeping people's hope and people's dream alive. And that was how I came up with the idea. But the truth is, I've always said, if I could make it to the Prem one day, I think I would just let people know it's possible for everyone.
Amazing, amazing. So let me ask because you said that this is something that you've had in your mind that if you can make it to the Prem one day, do you have like a vision board or somewhere that you write your goals, for yourself?
Yeah, to be honest, like for people that are really, really close to me, and this I mean my family and my best friends, I'm not trying to say like I have something that I used to say or this one or that one, but the truth is everything that has happened to me so far is something that I've really said into existence to most of my friends. There are things I've written down. There are things I've said to them like, if this is happening, this is what is going to happen. If this is happening, this is what is going to happen. But these are well known to people that actually know me. And most people that know me, I'm this guy that I dream really big. I even tell you things that in your head, you look at me and you tell me, Taiwo, this is not possible. But I will try to let you know that because you said it's not possible, I'm going to prove you wrong. And that is me.
Amazing, amazing. I love the mentality, you know, and I mean, you obviously back it up with your hard work. Because yeah, I know you're a Christian, you know, faith without work is dead. So obviously you have to have the faith and also put in the work. So that leads me to my next question. You know, when I talk to you behind the scenes sometimes, I joke with you, oh, Pastor Taiwo, or people call you Pastor all the time. Okay, can you just tell us what does your faith mean to you, and why are you so proud to be a Christian?
Yeah, I think firstly, I like to tell people that I'm not a pastor. And I've seen a friend that said to me, if people call you a pastor, just be you. You don't have to reply them if you are a sinner or you are this. But the truth is, I actually have my own personal flaws. There are things that I do that I've done before that I felt is not right. And because I said as an adult, you already know what is right and what is wrong. But the truth for me is my faith is everything. My belief in God is everything. I always tell people, I know my God, and that is certain for me. But that doesn't justify me as the best individual on earth. That doesn't justify me as the best Christian. That doesn't justify me as someone that hasn't done something or that is not doing something that is bad. But the truth is, I was born in the church. My dad is a Christian. My mom is a Christian. My dad, firstborn, is a pastor. My sister is an evangelist. My sister, husband, is a pastor. So for me, church is everything. And this is where I got my inspiration from. This is where I got my goals to life from. This is where I got my belief to life from. This is where I got my teaching to life from. Because for me, I have a situation where I'm privileged to like study my Bible, and I discover actually that there is nothing in that book that you can't find on earth. Like, it's a guideline. There was a time like when I was in the Netherlands, I actually sat down and I actually wrote things about Bible myself. I actually wrote a book about Bible. I call it the Book of Life. But I've not really published it, or I actually said to myself, I'm not going to tell people, I'm not going to tell the world. I gave it to a pastor. I said, can you please go through this and maybe publish it on my behalf? So the guy said, I will know. I have to like modify this for you and you have to publish it. Though I've not
Awesome.
really published it. So those times are where I got my inspiration to my faith from. And everything that I've done in those years, in my quiet moment, are things that are actually happening to me now. So that's why it's difficult for me to put that my belief, my faith in God out of my way. It's actually very, very difficult for me. It's the most important thing for me. And everyone around me knows that. But that doesn't mean I doesn't have my own flaws and my mistakes sometimes. But that God, you can't joke with him. That's just the
No.
truth of.
Amazing, amazing. I love to hear it, you know, and I love to see players of faith, honestly, because it inspires other people to work harder, to believe, and you know, ultimately know that they can achieve their own goals as well. You mentioned where you were in Netherlands, so I'll just use that one to transition into talk about football. I mean, like I said earlier, people watched you at the youth level representing Nigeria. You know, you were a talented young player. You did well for us at that level. And then you made that your initial move. You know, you signed for Liverpool Football Club, big club. Everybody knows Liverpool. You know, let me initially ask you, at the time that you had first signed, you know, what were you expecting? And did it go as you expected?
To be honest, for me as a player, like when I first signed for Liverpool, the only thing that just came to my mind is my dream has come true. Because growing up then, playing on the street, going through the national team ages from the under 17 to the 23, the only dream in my head is to play in the Premier League. And the moment Liverpool called, they came calling like they want me as their player, I was super, super excited. But if I would say, did it actually go as I expected? You know, in life you go and you learn. But in my part, I could remember like I actually didn't know how it works with the work permit, with the rules and everything, because I'm still in teen and I was just in teen and I just signed my first professional contract. Then I was just hoping like how maybe I will play it and everything. Then I discovered that you need what they call a work permit to actually play it in England.
Play.
So then that was when I discovered I have to go on loan, go to Germany, to Frankfurt. But all those years, I don't, he act, I would say he actually go as I expected, because I know in my head the only thing that will make me a Liverpool player is to get a work permit. And as at that time, I'm not playing for the Super Eagle, which is the only route that will make me to get work permit. And the other route was the Olympic. That's why one of my greatest and saddest moments in football is when I was omitted from the Olympic team in, is it 2016 thereabout? Like,
2016,
yeah,
yeah, Rio.
it's something that actually hurt me because I've seen the green light. I've sat with Liverpool director and they have told me if you could make this Olympic, there is possibility of getting your work permit. Then all of a sudden, 1 week to tournament, I found my name on the standby list,
Oh.
where I'm actually one of the guys that scored the goals for the qualifier in Zambia. So, and that goals actually brought the day from Liverpool. So at the same time, I'm not sad, but I actually know that you need to get a work permit before you play for Liverpool. So that's just the truth. And I was not really bothered. My only focus is just to like fight in every club that I've been to get my chance in the Super Eagle. And there was time I was in Belgium, Moscone, scoring. Then the Super Eagle had a game, a friendly game in the London. All this time I was actually scoring. Then I was not invited. So those are my pains. Those are my pains. That I was neglected from the Olympic team. Then those are my pains. So if I would say did it go as I expected, I would say yes, because I know before I get work permit, I need to play in the Super Eagle then. And I actually don't have the chance in the Super Eagle. So I can't be sad, and at the same time I can't say that I'm happy. I'm just a
Right.
guy, keep on working, keep on believing, and keep on hoping that one day it will come true. And that's where my God comes in. That's where my belief comes in. Because if everything is not going as you expected, or even when it's going as you expected, you still need your God, you still need your belief. And those are the things that actually hold me then. So I can't summarize it like it goes as I expected, and it doesn't go as unexpected. I just flow with the whole moment of the whole loan process. I'm very hopeful that one day I will actually get the work permit to play in the Premier League.
And let me ask you quickly about the loan process. I mean, this is something that is obviously very popular across football. Different countries, different leagues, we all see players going on loan. Some players would say, oh man, it's the worst thing for me. Some players will say, oh, it was a very good experience because it helped me to be able to play first team football at that high level. In your own opinion, going out on loan to different clubs, do you think it helped you become a better player, or do you feel like it just delayed you?
I will say, for me, in my experience, my first word will be like, it depends on which club is sending you on loan. That's the first statement that comes out from my mouth. In my case, it was Liverpool sending me on loan, and they are not just sending me on loan. They are sending me on loan as a Liverpool player. I have the director involved in my loan. I have the director checking on me, looking at all my games, telling me my mistakes, what I need to do better. But in my own case, I will say I would rather prefer a player to go on loan than sit down in the academy where there won't be chance of playing in the first team. They don't make it seem as if once I'm out there, I'm no longer their player. In my case, the loan is actually what developed me. An 18-year-old boy coming from Nigeria. I've not experienced what is European football. I was in FFR Frankfurt. The first year, my first season in Europe, we got relegated. I was in NEC Nijmegen, we got relegated. Then I went to Belgium. Those are my own steps that actually make me believe more in myself. Like, hey, Taiwo, you have a lot of work to do. You said you want to play in Liverpool and you are still struggling in all these stages. So those are my own key points that makes me say to myself, you better start to get it right or you just forget about the game. So for me, loan is always better because you have more chances to play. But the truth is, it all depends on which club is sending you on loan and how far are they following you up on the loan they are sending you. That's just the truth about it.
Oh yeah. So I mean, you had a good time in Muskron, you know, like you mentioned at that time you were scoring goals. So would you say that of all the loan experiences, you know, your time in Muskron was your best, your favorite one?
I think of all the loan for me, I think sometimes you just have to be like, maybe sometimes you have to pick the most difficult time as well as your best loan move. Moscone is just where they appreciated what I offered as a player. Union Berlin are just where they appreciated who I am as a player and what I offer to the club. So those are just the truth. But sometimes maybe your best experience will be where you have the most difficult moment, most the most difficult moment. Maybe because it's not because you're not playing or you are not good enough, but because they choose not to realize how important you are. And in those moments, those are the things that triggered your own focus also. Those are the things that triggered your being you, like, come on, they need to see who you are as a player. So for me, I can't really say this one was my best, but where I had my best football was in Mokon and in Union Berlin, of course.
Yeah,
But maybe
and
the difficult part are actually those that really trigger Roy style only God knows.
that only God knows, but that's a good point. You know, what did they say? They say pressure builds diamonds. So maybe playing under that kind of pressure, you know, going through some difficult times has helped you to become, you know, a better person, a better footballer. Who knows? But everything, of course, is a stage in the development. I want to ask you about Germany. You know, we first of all saw you play for Mainz, before eventually making the move, you know, the following season. Or how many seasons did you play at Mainz?
Yeah, I played one season in Mainz.
One season, yes, before, you know, going on loan again to Union Berlin. Germany is a country that, you know, a lot of people are aware of, but everybody has different opinions on Germany. How did you find life in Germany, you know, outside of football? How did you find life in Germany?
Yeah, I think for me, the truth is I can live anywhere. That's just me. Germany, I just for me, Germany is just a place where, for me personally, I've always said I only want to play in Bundesliga or in the Premier League. Those are my only two favorite league, and I've said that to myself when I was in Belgium. So, but outside football, I think Germany is a good place to live. For me, my first year was in Frankfurt. Was an amazing outside football. They are actually nice people, direct people, straightforward people, and that is me. They are very, very straightforward. German in their way, that's why they say German machine. They are always focused on what they are doing. Every of their economy, their things is just always on each direct and straightforward way. So for me, I see them as a sincere people. I see them as an honest people in their way of doing things. And that's one of the things that I like about Germans. Very direct in their way of works. That's just the truth.
Interesting. And in terms of the football, you know, after playing in Belgium for a couple years, moving to Germany, was it a big transition for you, or do you think, you know, the styles, like, were they different? Were they similar? How was that?
I think for me, to be honest, like I've always said I want to play in the Bundesliga in the Premier League. But the truth is, it was when I was in Belgium, like the coach I had, Ben Stock, one day just called me in his office and he said to me, "You've played for me. I've seen how you are as a player." He asked me a question. He said, "What kind of player do you want to be?" Do you want to be the one that will fight for the top, or do you just want to be a normal player? And I told him what I want to be. Then he said to me, let this season be the last year you will be in Belgium. He said it straight to me. And he said to me, I had a club. It's likely I'm going to that club. I want you to be my striker in that club. So unfortunately, it didn't later go as planned. But that was the year I made my decision of going to Germany. And that was the year I ended up in Mainz. So for me, football-wise, I don't really see it as a big transition because it has always been where I wanted to be as a player. But I see it as a big step to my to get discover more, to experience more things, because for sure it's totally different from Germany and from Belgium. Getting to Mainz then is totally different from moving from Mâcon to Mainz. The football, the structure, the intensity, the speed, the physicality, and everything is totally two different things.
Interesting, and shout out to Ben Stock for believing in you like that, and encouraging you to make that step. It's always, I mean, it's always nice when you have a coach that believes in you, because then you are able to feel comfortable and to express yourself and even
Best
do
feeling, to be
better.
honest.
No. Okay, interesting. So let me now talk about Union Berlin. I mean, your first season in Union Berlin, you played 21 games. You scored 5 goals, you made 3 assists. I mean, between you and I, we know it's good, but it's not great. I mean, so when you played that first season in Union Berlin, how did you feel, you personally, how did you feel about your performance? And two, how did the club feel? How did they react to you? Because they eventually signed you permanently.
Yeah, I think for me, to be honest, my move to Union Berlin, I will give credit to Antonio Uja. I'll give credit to Antonio Uja because after I left, or before I left, I actually discovered a lot of things in the club. And that day, like, when my agent told me, like, it's likely I go to Union Berlin, because we actually had a deal, and the deal, I know what is in stock in that day. But he said to me, Taiwo, I know this is good for you, but I'll tell you, just go to Union Berlin. Even if it's not about the money, but just go, because I believe they really want you there. Then the first person I called was Antonio Uja, because he was actually the main striker of the team then. Then I talked to him, then he told me, he said a statement to me, come on, brother, you're like a brother to me, just keep on coming. But the move to Union Berlin, why I give credit to him is, I think it was just him and the director that was first having the discussion about me when I was in Mainz. Then I was not playing for 8 months or something, or 6 months. I was not even making the team. I was just training every day. But one thing about me is, I don't like to say I'm this, I'm that, but people that actually know how hard I am, or I worked or something, they know who I am. But I don't like to talk about myself. But the good thing is, what actually made them to make the movies, because a boy has not played for months and he started playing towards the end of the season, and you just trigger the move for him. That's one good thing about German. They tell each other what you are doing, so they know what you are doing behind the scene, even if you're playing or you know. And that was what triggered them going for me first as a loan, because Liverpool is not ready to sell, obviously. But getting to Union Berlin, the first season, everything that is my head is just to correct everything that went wrong in Mainz. Because in Mainz, I was actually training, we were doing everything right, and I just find myself not playing. Only towards the end of the COVID, I started playing. Then the concussion injury came in again after scoring my first goal, all of that story and all. So, but getting to Union Berlin, I only said to myself, this is another chance to not to prove anyone wrong, but to get it right till you get to where you're going. But I could remember the first statement I said to my agent and the director of Union Berlin then was, I said, I'm spending 2 years with them. That's for my first statement. And I said it in the restaurant, and that is me. I tell people what my aim is. So the first season, 5 goals, had another injury again. But the truth about football is not about what you do on match day. Football is about what you do during those weeks before the weekend games. They are seeing me every day. They see what I'm offering in training. They see what I'm offering in the game. When I was injured, they see how important I am. So I think that was what gave them the full confidence to go for this for the second year, with the condition of not making it alone but a permanent move. And that's what football is all about. They've seen who I am as a player. So I think that was what triggered them. And that was how I summarized the whole Union Berlin moves.
Amazing, amazing, and I like what you said there about, what really matters is what you are doing in the week leading up to match day, because obviously, fans will be saying, why are they always playing this guy? Why are they always playing this guy? Or why are they not playing this guy? And they don't have the perspective of, what is going on in training, what is going on behind the scene to understand why a coach maybe likes a player or doesn't necessarily like a player. So I like the fact that you said that. Okay, so also the second season at Union Berlin, I mean, things took off for you that season. You had a fantastic strike partner, Max Kruse, and you guys were just playing off each other, bouncing off each other. And I believe you scored 15 goals in that season. Scoring goals like that, how did it make you feel? Did you start to believe that, okay, now Taiwo don't become serious player? How was that for you where you were scoring goals and doing well in your second season at Union Berlin?
Yeah, I think for me, I think for every footballer, I mean every footballer, once you get to a place, you need time to adapt. The first year was just more like a lesson, like a learning process. When I was in Mainz, was like a learning process. Then getting to Union Berlin is okay. You've learned. Now you have the opportunity to prove yourself. Then you played and you scored 5 goals. But when I scored during the second season with Union Berlin, one thing is for sure. I know now that I'm not going on loan anymore. I know now that this is my home. I had like a 5 years contract with them. And being a guy that is ambitious, I know I have to get it right. That's just the truth about it. I know I have to get it right. Like, okay, you've signed a 5 years contract. They've signed you as their highest signing ever. Then the question you ask yourself is, what do you want for yourself? And I give kudos again to the coach, Urs Fischer. For me, I always see him as my best coach.
Don't
Because
let Steve Cooper hear you, but
what he offers to every individual in Union Berlin is something exceptional. Because he's just like a father figure, like I always said, but he's just this person that knows every part of the game. He knows you as a player. He didn't just, if you look at the Union Berlin squad, we don't have like Messi or Ronaldo. But you see that team making move. You see that team doing things, and people are wondering what is happening. It's just the setup, and that was what he offers to everyone in that club, and that was what he offers to me when I was there in the second season. Because he's a man that tells you his goals. He tells you in target. There are times like it will only be me and him in the afternoon doing a lot of finishings, a lot of finishings, just me and him, like. He just loves you as an individual, and he joke with you, and when he's upset, he's upset. So that's the kind of person he is, and that's why I summarized the second year with him. Like, it's a place where you find peace, you enjoy what you're doing, you find love, which is the most important thing. So I think that was what brought all about the second season in Union Berlin. And of course, the first year I've known almost everyone in the club. So the second year was just more like being friendly more with everyone, and everything just clicked. And of course, the fans again, they are someone that you want to give everything for in that club.
No, amazing, amazing. I really love to hear that, and shout out to the coach as well for helping you, to work better, to become a better player, and believing in you like that. Okay, so 2022, I mean, big year, World Cup year. By that time, you're a player for the Super Eagles. You're playing football for Nigeria. But then we had, the crucial qualifying match against Ghana. And unfortunately, you were not selected to be a part of that squad. So my question now is in two parts. One, how did you feel not being able to play in that, or even not being a part of the squad for that crucial game against Ghana? And two, when we eventually did not qualify, how was the mood? How were you feeling?
I think the first question, not being part of that squad is for me. When it comes to the national team, this might sound a bit odd, but that is my own philosophy to it. That's how I see every selection in the Super Eagles or in every national team. From that moment where I was omitted 1 week, me and Xavier Godwin, 1 week to that Olympic tournament. From that moment that I was omitted, that I was put on the standby list, I've zeroed my mind. Like, I've seen national team as a place that is not for everyone. Today you can be there, tomorrow you cannot. If you are not there, that doesn't mean you are not good enough. It's just a decision of who they want to be there in terms
At the
of
time.
what would the coach believe in for that match in particular. Or for that game in particular. And that is how I've always seen national team games. Even now, if I'm invited, I see it as a great honor and a great privilege. There are other players that are as well good as well. But being not there doesn't mean they are not good enough for the Super Eagle. And you that are there, you just have to make good use of your opportunity. That's how I see every national team game. But of course, it's a place where I want to be every time. It's a place where every footballer wants to be every time. And it's a place that I believe I also should be part of every time. The same way every other player see it, the same way I see it as well. But when it comes to the selection, it's a place that I don't think I have an influence on, and I don't think any player have an influence on. I think it all boils down on who they think is good for that game in particular. Look at how many players we have in Nigeria. Is
So
enough to
many.
tell you, even if tomorrow they make a selection, there will still be people that will say, why is this one not there? Why is this one not there? This is enough to tell you how big, how rich the country is. So in terms of the selection, every player believes they should be there. So if you are not there, that means that match is not meant for you. You just have to wait for the next time that you'll be there. And that's how I see the selection. Then when it comes to not being in the World Cup, I remember we both had a chat, like a normal chat then. The truth is, for me, let me give an instance now. Look at what most Nigerian players are doing. Just have a view of it. Have a view of it. Is it what Kelechi did for Leicester? Unfortunately, they didn't stay up. Is it what Osimhen did in Napoli? Is it what I did in Nottingham Forest? Is it what Bonezi is doing in Belgium? Is it what Murphy is doing in France? Is it what Moses Simon is doing? Look at all those names. Talk less of Frank Onyeka in Brentford. That is to tell you that World Cup is meant for our age group. You understand? Because that's for me, that's how I see it. This is just my own personal opinion. But of course, is he Ademola Lookman? If you look at the season after the World Cup, look at what most of us are doing. That is for me, I see it as an anger of what we could have achieved. That's how I see it. I don't know about other people's opinion. Is he Joe Aribo? Is he Paul? You understand what I'm saying? So I'm just talking for myself though. When you look at the World Cup, unfortunately, we miss out. But I see it as a World Cup would have been like more of a World Cup for our age group. I'm not saying the next World Cup will not be there. Everyone wants to be there. But I think this is the World Cup where most of us would have felt, yeah, maybe we're at our prime or something. You understand what I'm saying?
I
So
understand
that's
though.
World Cup. Unfortunately, we didn't qualify, so we have to wait for the next 4 years again. So the next 4 years, it all boils down every one of us trying to be at their best again. Every one of us trying to be at their peak. But I tell people the truth is, even without the next 4 years, there are already young players 18, 20, they are already coming
That's the
up.
thing about football. In
So
that next World Cup, there will be some players that we might not even know them today, but by that time.
that's the thing. The next World Cup, I think, is in 4 years or something. Maybe.
2026, I think.
Yeah. So the same thing I said to you on phone is the same thing I will say to you now that we're talking. Some of us are maybe 29, which is a peak of our career where everyone believes the experience is there. The experience, the. But the truth is, for me, this is my opinion. I don't know about any other person, but this is how, because this is how I think. I said to you then on phone, I said, that might be a 24-year-old boy at his peak. I know people will say that maybe it's because of experience. This might even go against me that I'm speaking right now, but it's the truth. This is how I think. I'm being straightforward and honest in my own way. Not the best guy. If a 24-year-old or a 20-year-old boy is at his peak during that World Cup, many Nigerians might say maybe he should not be in the World Cup because he's young. But if we keep on doing that, we're just depriving those young one also of their time. So the challenge now is for people like us who will be 20 something, 28, 29, to believe that we have to be at our peak. So that's just the thing. But for me, I see the last World Cup as our World Cup. But fortunately, we didn't go. And the next World Cup, we want to, I've never been to a World Cup. I want to be there. So the challenge is on me to prove myself that I deserve to be there. Better than 24-year-old boy or 25-year-old boy then. So that is how I see it. And that was the painful part for me. But that doesn't mean everyone there doesn't do their best. They actually put in a good fight. If you look at the game, it's just unfortunately we didn't go to the World Cup. And even if we qualify to the World Cup, there is no guarantee that everyone that plays the qualifier will be the one to play the World Cup. Like I said, that is not guaranteed. So that's how I see the both scenario in my own opinion.
And I mean, me, I want Nigeria to qualify for that next World Cup because the World Cup is in US and Canada, so it's easy for me to even cover to cover and watch you people, you know. So hopefully Nigeria is able to qualify, and hopefully as well you are still at your best, you know, and you're part of that setup. The summer comes, and as always, just like this summer, every summer there's talk about transfers. Who is going where? Who is doing what? Who is staying at his club? You know, things like that. You ended up leaving Union Berlin, you know, after 2 years, like you had initially said. You know, you ended up leaving after 2 years, and you joined Nottingham Forest, who were just promoted to the English Premier League. I remember once we were hearing the rumors, you know, people like Fabrizio would drop rumor on Twitter. You know, people would start to anticipate. And then it eventually happened. All of a sudden, Nigerians, hey, some people, what's wrong with Taiwo? What's he doing? This one, that one, where would he go to? Nottingham Forest. See them, they are signing 100 players. You know, as a player, when you hear that kind of thing, is it something that you even care about? Or are you just happy that you have, you know, achieved a goal that you've had for yourself? Do you listen to any of those kind of comments? And if at all, how do they make you feel?
Yeah, for me, this is my own opinion though. For me, I don't think a player, I don't think there is a player that will say, I don't, he doesn't listen to what people are saying about him. For me, I see it as a big lie. We hear everything, basically everything. The one that will block you when you are successful, the one that will follow you when you are successful, we know everything. So that's the truth. But the thing is, It all depends on what you do with everything that you had. What do you do with it? If someone tell you like Taiwo, you are a bad person, what do you do with it? If they say you are a good person, what do you do with it? I think that's how I basically see it in my own way. But one thing I always like to say to people is this, that there are game behind the games. There are things that the layman outside football doesn't understand. That's just the truth. There are things where a footballer, a football fans will just be like, he has an idea of how crucial his club is to him, how much love he has for me as a player. But there are things they don't understand about football. There are things that only the clubs and the footballer can only understand and have an answer to, which maybe is difficult to say to the world, to the whole world. That's just the truth about football. And I do say this, football also like, it's like this, it's like a job, it's like a business. It's like a business to people that understand what they are into. But for people like us, for most footballers, it's like a passion for us. For me personally, it's something I never see football as a business. I see it as a passion, and I don't joke with it. That's just it. But the truth is, when everyone keep on saying those things, everyone keep on writing anything they want to write, anything they want to say, there are just things they don't understand. Because I'm the one being in Berlin. I'm the one that moved to Genk. I'm the one that moved to Mainz. No one was there with me. I'm the one that see everything that is happening every day. So you can't understand my situation better than I have. There is no way you can. But people tends to believe they know more than you that are into the game yourself. So for you just laugh and you just keep on moving with your life. But the truth is, every footballer's had those words, and for sure they know everything people are talking about them.
I like your response about is about what you do with it, you know, because at the end of the day, if somebody tells you something negative, you can either take it as motivation, you can either just get angry, you can ignore it. At the end of the day, it matters about what you do with it. I mean, Nottingham Forest eventually signed, you know, your buddy, your friend, Emmanuel Dennis. Of course, I'm sure it must have been nice for you to have your fellow Nigerian in the team. You know, at least you guys can relate, you can speak your pidgin together, you know. How was that when he came on board as well? How was it for you?
Yeah, for me, Dennis was actually like a good friend of mine since when I was in London, because he was actually playing in a Crewe Football Academy then, and I could remember very well when I moved to Belgium as well. He was in Belgium, so we had me and Dennis, we quite had a good relationship, and it was actually a nice time together as well when we with us together in Nottingham Forest. It was really a quite good time because it's just me and him every time. We sit together in the locker room and we joke a lot. We speak our broken English together. And for me, it's actually someone that tell you what is good and what is bad. It tells you direct. Even that time, it just tell you, hey, come on, this is no, you don't train well today. So that's the kind of relationship. Even when I'm not happy, he will tell it to my face. So, and that's the kind of friend I want to keep. So for me, it was a nice time together, to be honest.
Nice, good to hear, and shout out to Emmanuel Dennis as well. Okay, let's talk about the season.